Back here on The Scoop with another edition of East Coast Bias, the first one of 2019, taking a long look at the Minnesota Vikings, and joining us as always, Mike Hurton. Mike, hope you had a happy new year. 2019 is upon us. The Vikings, though, are done for the season. Let's start right there. What was your reaction to the 24-10 loss for the Vikings to the Chicago Bears on Sunday?
Oh, man, happy new year, by the way, but it was just despicable all around. I mean, this team, in a winning end, just showed zero effort, pretty much. Like, they didn't really want to be there. They already had their minds focused on the off season. You know, there was zero explosiveness coming out. I mean, the offense was putrid. Defense, the Zimmer, quote-unquote Zimmer Hellfire defense, letting up a nine-minute game-killing drive in the fourth quarter, multiple third-down conversions. It was ugly all around and a very bad taste to begin the offseason.
Yeah, that is for sure. And to help kind of ring in the new year and ring out the bad taste, I know you've got a couple of hot takes as to what happens to end the season. So why don't we spill some of those, and then we can start to dive into how this team picks up the pieces and gets back on track heading into next year.
All right. Well, my first hot take is that we let Anthony Barr, and this might come as a surprise to most people, but Sheldon Richardson, I think we can let them both walk, because we need as much money as possible to upgrade the offensive line, starting with Roger Saffold. I think he would be a very good guard candidate.
Ooh.
And, yeah, there's a lot of guys that are out there that are pretty high caliber, and we definitely, at 18, are probably going to draft offensive lineman, probably a guard or some sort of offensive lineman. So I think we should swing big for Saffold. I think he was, like, PFF's eighth-ranked guard, which should be, like,
wow,
a revelation compared to
no
what
kidding
we saw this year. Another hot take is basically running through the list of names that are on the roster bubble. Compton, Remmers, they're both gone. They need to go. They were just putting Mike Remmers at guard. I know other people have said this too. Like, Vikings pretty much ruined his, like, career outlook pretty much, unless other teams are going to move him back to tackle, because him at guard was just a horrible decision. I don't know why they ever thought that would work out.
Yeah, that seemed like one of those bold strategy, Cotton. We'll see how it plays out, and it definitely did not. So yeah, I would tend to agree that I think there are going to be some big changes to the offensive line. One thing that we can both agree on, though, is there is one piece of that offensive line that is solid and is going to be a building block going forward. How about the play of Brian O'Neill this year and what he did to solidify that right tackle spot?
Oh, Brian O'Neill was excellent. And honestly, like many people predicted that Brian O'Neill would be a big project. He wouldn't see the field for the Vikings, and he probably was their best offensive lineman the entire year. So that's definitely a very pleasant surprise. And it just goes to show you that, like, the Vikings were not prepared at all for him to, like, step in. They thought, oh, you know, this is going to work out with Rashad Hill and whatnot. He got outplayed by O'Neill. He ends up getting hurt. O'Neill steps in and fills in marvelously. And definitely him, and I know Pat Elflein gets a lot of flack, but I think him missing training camp, coming in hurt, like, really put him down, because 2017, we really saw how much promise Elflein had. And I think Elflein and O'Neill are very solid building blocks for the future, but the rest of the line is kind of just off for grabs.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the point on Pat Elflein, because I think him missing the early part of the season just wrecked his, as you said, just wrecked his entire year. And now that he'll have a chance to be healthy going into the year, you've got two spots on the line that are pretty solid. And I'm willing to, depending on what they do with Riley Reiff, I'm willing to give him a little bit of a pass as well, assuming that they can find a better guard to put next to him.
Right.
But if they do decide that they're going to move on at all three of those spots, left tackle, right guard, and left guard, I would be fine with that as well. If they can find a way to do it, then I think that makes a lot of sense. I think it's safe to say there are going to be a lot of changes. So why don't we, before we get into some of the hotter takes with the coaching staff, why don't we play a game that I am going to call Keep, Cut, or Trade? And I'm going to run through a bunch of names on the roster, and we will see whether you think that they will be kept, cut, or traded. And if you think it's somebody who could end up being a restructure candidate, then, yeah, by all means, we can discuss that as well. But we'll start with some of the big names, and you alluded to this a little bit already. So we'll start here, and this is based off of their 2018 salaries. So we'll go from highest to lowest. Starting off with Sheldon Richardson, do you think the Vikings keep him? In this case, let him walk, or, well, obviously they can't trade him unless they lock him up to an extension. So what do you think ends up happening with Sheldon Richardson?
Personally, I think they let him walk because, like I said, spending on the line is the imperative of this offseason. Richardson is a very good player, but against the run, he was so-so. Against the pass, he's excellent, but we have two young guys in Afadi Odenigbo, who we just gave more money than the practice squad, and from what I've read, and I'm sure you read, they like him a lot. I mean, they want to give him more of a practice squad bonus to stay on. And he turned down an active roster spot with the Eagles, too, so that could have been a career booster for him. So that shows what they think about him. Odenigbo and then Jahlil Johnson also has a lot of promise, I think. So, I mean, we have our own in-house guys who are younger, much cheaper than extending Richardson. And how long you keep Richardson in there, then it's just like Odenigbo and what's his name?
Jahlil Johnson, Stephen Weatherly. Johnson,
yeah. Stephen Weatherly, those guys don't see as much time. And, you know, I think we already have a spot. And we have Jalen Holmes, too.
Yep.
He gets lost in the shuffle, too. So it's like, I think it's just easier to move on from Richardson.
Okay. Next up, let's go to Latavius Murray. Do you think the Vikings keep him, or do you think they let him walk?
I think that's another guy that can be let go. I think he'll walk. I mean, I think he already said he wants a bigger role somewhere else, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I know he likes the Vikings, and he's aging, too. And I think we can, especially you see all these stud late-round running backs we can get. I think we can get a similar type running back to Murray, a very pounding-ground guy in the later rounds of the draft, younger, too, and cheaper.
Yeah. I mean, we saw Mike Boone get a chance. He could slide into one of those spots. Also, if they feel like it, with uncertainty around another guy that we'll talk about in a little bit, they could bring back Amir Abdullah, who was pretty good as a kick returner. They could bring him back and give him some running back snaps as well.
Right, yeah. I know he had dealt with some couple injuries, but he looked pretty explosive, and I know he's a good pass-catching back, too.
Mm-hmm. Next name. This is another big one. You already tipped your hand a little bit, but I'll ask it again. Anthony Barr, do you think he stays, or do you think the Vikings let him explore the open market?
Barr's going to walk as well. I mean, between him and his agent, I think he knows he can make a lot more money as a outside linebacker rather than playing on the tag. And I saw people debating whether we should transition tag him and then try and trade him. But guys like Andy Carlson were talking about, okay, if we do that, we owe him $15 million, and teams will probably call our bluff and say, we're not going to trade for that. You know you guys aren't going to sign him long-term and whatnot. So I think he walks. He can make a lot more money somewhere else, like Oakland or Indianapolis, some team that will pay him a lot more money.
All right. The next one I'll go to is, this is an interesting one because the year for him started off a little shaky, but finished strong. Dan Bailey, would you like to see the Vikings bring him back or let him hit the market?
I'd love to see Bailey back. I mean, we really don't have any other options. I mean, I'm not trying to go the rookie kicker route that we draft, flash sign and then cut again, and that's just a big cycle. And I think we found some consistency with Bailey, but it'll just depend on how much he wants and whether or not he wants to resign here.
Okay. Next one I'll go to is a player who it seems like we're always having this conversation, and he always ends up back with the team. Marcus Sherrills. Is this finally the year that the Vikings elect to let him hit free agency, or do you think we'll see Marcus again as a member of the Vikings next year?
I think Marcus Sherrills will be back. I mean, every year, like you said, everyone talks about, oh, we need to cut him, he's a cut candidate, but it's very hard to find a solid, reliable punt returner, and I really think the Vikings like trust him a lot. And I don't know how you felt, but with Zylstra back there, I was feeling shaky about him returning punts. And I feel a lot more comfortable with Marcus Sherrills. I think he knows his role here, and he's from Minnesota as well, and he's been with the Vikings his entire career, so I think he'll finish out his career here.
A couple more. This one really, I don't think, played out as we expected it would. George Iloka barely played. Is there really any point even of bringing him back next season?
Absolutely not. I think he's probably pretty ticked off that he probably could have signed somewhere else. Like, I know Dallas is interested, and probably a number of other teams that were interested in him, but he believed that Mike Zimmer would play him because he, again, grew up in the Zimmer system, and Zimmer pretty much groomed him for success and then pretty much left him out to dry. Once Anthony yeah. Harris started having off his success, it was just like pointless. Jaron Curse is a young guy too, so it was like he kind of just got lost in the shuffle. I feel bad for him, honestly.
Yeah, it was weird that he didn't end up getting any sort of a more extended run, but that's the way that it that's the way it plays out, I guess. Let's go to some players who have the potential to be restructured and or cut or traded. I'll start with Riley Reiff. Would you be in favor of the Vikings keeping him, cutting him, or trading him?
I think we have to keep Riley Reiff. I was looking today. There's really not much of an upgrade in
yeah.
terms of free agent left tackles and stuff like that. And he really did have a solid 2017, like you said. Remmers and Compton honestly probably made Reiff look a lot worse than he
yeah.
actually was this year. And it's a lot harder to guard, be a left tackle when the guard beside you is very incompetent.
Next up, let's go with Everson Griffin. He has a pretty modest cap hit, but he could certainly be a candidate to restructure. Would you like to see the Vikings keep him, cut him, or trade him?
I'd like to see them keep him, but if he's not willing to restructure, then we can get rid of Everson Griffin. I know it's hard to say because he's such a staple, and he's been a staple of the team. But, you know, he's aging, 31. I think it's like $10 million cap hit. That number isn't really sustainable for his age, really. He had like 6 sacks this year. I think, like we talked about, we have so many young guys on the line that it's Weatherly can take over and be a starter. He was really, really doing good when Everson was dealing with his mental health situation. So I think Weatherly will take over, and I'd like to see Weatherly take over and maybe Everson kind of step back into like a reduced rotational role, but we'll see what happens. But I'd like him back, but if he doesn't want to take restructure, then we can let him go.
Couple more, and then we'll look at some other Vikings related topics here. Again, East Coast Bias, first episode of 2019 with none other than Mike Hurton. Mike, let's look at Kyle Rudolph, who had a slow start to the year, but became more of a focal point of the offense as the season went on. Should the Vikings keep him, cut him, or trade him?
Kyle Rudolph is really tricky for me because he's been a staple of this team as well as Everson. He's been here for a long time. He does a lot of great work in the community, but he's going to need to be restructured, or same thing with Griffin. If he doesn't want to restructure, then I think the Vikings have to let him go because he really does have great hands. But he is not a yards after the catch guy at all. I mean, he numerous times you see it, he just catches it, either falls down or gets tackled. I mean, I think we need to get more explosive at tight end, like a George Kittle, Travis Kelce, those type of guys are the new wave of tight ends. And I would really like to see the Vikings do that because I think that could take the offense up even a higher level. You got Thielen, Diggs, find maybe a competent wide receiver 3, and then a very athletic tight end that could bring us to new dimensions, I think.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. That segues perfectly into my next player, Laquon Treadwell. Keep, cut, or trade?
He's gone. He's so gone.
Yeah.
I was laughing because I saw that he had some quote where he thought he did a great job, whatever, like filled his role, and the Vikings didn't disappoint anyone at all, and they had a good year, and that's just a load of crap. Treadwell has just failed to live up to the hype. It's very disappointing because he was like a very hyped up prospect. I thought we were getting a very good jump ball wide receiver, and I thought with Kirk could maybe revitalize him, but it just wasn't in the cards.
Next, the final one that we'll talk about, and I think this one is pretty clear cut considering the emergence of the player that replaced him. What about Andrew Sendejo? Would you like to see the Vikings keep him, cut him, or trade him?
I think Sendejo will be cut. He did a restructuring on a very minimal level to play a rotation role, which he probably won't do because of pride, because he was a starter.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, Anthony Harris is just so damn good. I think he was a third-ranked safety in PFF, and the Vikings need to think about re-signing him long-term.
Yes.
And, yeah, Sendejo is I think Sendejo realized he lost his job here once he saw Harris balling up.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. The Vikings will place, I've seen suggested that they'll place the restricted free agent tender on Anthony Harris for something like a second-round pick.
Yeah, saw that.
Much like they did with Adam Thielen before he signed his extension. I think they'll do that because second-round pick is a pretty high price to pay.
Right.
For a player, even a player of Harris's caliber, it's just a second round pick's very valuable. So, I think that's the route they'll go there, and I think that is a pretty good spot to go into a couple of other changes that we could see for this Vikings team. First off, on the offensive coordinator side of the ball, it sounds like Kevin Stefanski is going to be getting some looks at a couple of head coaching jobs. I think he has already interviewed or is going to be interviewing with Cleveland. So having seen that, who are some names, Mike, that we should be looking at as potential replacements for offensive coordinator?
Right. Well, the most intriguing to me, number one choice, if Stefanski leaves, because I think they really do want Stefanski back, would be under the radar now. He's not really talked about, but was a candidate last year before DeFilippo, Sean Ryan. He previously coached, or he is the coach of Deshaun Watson right now. In the younger days, he was with younger Eli Manning. So I think he could really be beneficial. And I think he really does have a future as an offensive coordinator slash probably future head coach. So I'd roll with him. Going through the list here, Adam Gase would probably be second. I mean, he had the success with Peyton Manning, which is really intriguing. But, I mean, Peyton Manning is Peyton Manning. But I think Adam Gase is not a good head coach, but offensive coordinator. He's probably one of the better offensive coordinators.
Yeah, there are some very intriguing options. I don't think it's going to happen, but I would probably put my money on Freddie Kitchens. But I don't think he's going to leave Cleveland, because
they can't break that up.
No, he's done some really good things with Baker
Mayfield.
That'd be
the most Cleveland thing ever to do.
Yeah,
to break up the success he had with Baker Mayfield. I think there's no way. Especially with John Dorsey and the new management, there's no way they're going to let him leave.
And the funny thing too is, like, people are talking about the biggest one here within the last 24 hours has been rumors that Hugh Jackson will be a potential candidate for the Vikings. I don't know if Cincinnati, that is going to let us get our way in that case, because I think I saw that he is going to be interviewing for the head coach position with the Bengals, and as being the only candidate to interview so far, probably going to get that gig, so we can cross him off the list, I think. But then again, I say that and watch him end up being the one who gets the offensive coordinator position. I probably just jinxed it.
Oh, man. Hugh Jackson is our offensive coordinator. I might have to take a break from watching Vikings football, because that would just be such incompetence and horrible management decision on the Vikings' part. I mean, we already see how much of a stranglehold Zimmer has on Rick Spielman and decision-making as far as the draft and defensive players and stuff like that. Yeah, and if Hugh got the job, it would solely be because he's Zimmer's buddy.
And right.
That would literally be Zimmer unknowingly, but probably knowingly asking for himself to be fired midway through the year.
Yeah, that would spell disaster, I think. Over to the defensive side of the ball, we've got a potential interesting dilemma, as it sounds like George Edwards has interviewed for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers head coaching job, which is interesting because like we look at, okay, the defensive coordinator of the Vikings, so obviously the defense has done really well. But how much of that is Edwards and how much of that is Zimmer? I mean, it's the same debate that we had at the end of the season with how much of the offensive success was Pat Shurmur and how much of it was Case Keenum. I mean, I think there has been some input by Edwards that has led to success defensively, but I get the feeling that if Edwards were to leave, that things wouldn't really miss much of a beat, because you look at all these great defensive coaches that Zimmer has, most notably right. Jerry Gray. I think I think that's a dark horse candidate to bump up if George Edwards gets the job, is to just slide Jerry Gray into the defensive coordinator or Andre Patterson.
Yep. That's what I was just about to say.
I think
I think they'd stay in house with that.
Yes, I tend to agree, because I think they've got plenty of capable options to do it. So it'll be interesting to see what ends up happening, both in the personnel department and also in the coaching staff with this Vikings team. Mike, I think we'll end with a bold prediction for 2019. I'll just ask you a simple yes or no. Do the Vikings make the playoffs in 2019?
Yes.
I like it, because I also agree. I think they get everything righted. I think the offense makes some big strides under insert offensive coordinator's name here. I think the offensive line becomes much more stable. And I think we're looking at a 12-4, 13-3, somewhere in there.
That would be beautiful.
It's the every other year philosophy.
Like Zimmer thing, yeah.
And, I mean, 11-5, then the next year 8-8, then 13-3, then 8-7-1. So 13-3.
And then we never win the big game.
Yeah, there's that.
And then Mike Zimmer is just Marvin Lewis de facto. Just mediocrity, but he puts up a decent record, so you can't fire him.
Right.
So they don't want to fire him, and then they get too content, and then we wait so many years.
Well,
we'll see, though.
Yeah, there will be reason for optimism heading into 2019, and we will talk plenty more with you just about where this team needs to go, what they need to do from a more personnel standpoint in future episodes of East Coast Bias. But for today, Mike, appreciate the chat, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Absolutely, man. Go Vikings.